Amen. Okay, so last week we were looking at the fountain of living water. And today we will have a part two. We continue with that message. Fountain of living water. Can we say that together? Fountain of living water. And while I was praying, it just ministered to my heart. And I'll say this again. There is nothing that God told you to do that he expects you to do by your own power. Amen? He's the one that gives you the power to do what he tells you to do. Let me tell you how that power comes. That power comes through the word and through the spirit. Amen? When God gives you an instruction, inside that instruction is the power. All you need to do is just lean on the instruction. Lean on that word. And that word will empower you. Hallelujah. Some people, they are struggling with sin today is because they are not feeding on the word of God. They are feeding on junk. When you feed on junk, you will desire junk. Hello? You may watch some things and say, it doesn't matter. I know better. Hello? You may watch some movies, for example, and they bring out some immoral part or some swearing or whatever. Is that where I know better? But the problem is that what you watch, yeah, is what you are feeding on. Hallelujah. Then you may not find out later that you start desiring or you start getting tempted to do exactly what you watched because you fed on it. Hallelujah. Now, the way to kill that is not to say, God, deliver me, God, deliver me, God, deliver me. He has already delivered you. Hallelujah. Jesus already died on the cross. He came to set you free. What you need to do is change what you are feeding on. Hallelujah. Change what? Let me show you something in Romans 8. Go open your Bible to Romans 8. Romans chapter 8. We are looking at fountain of living water. John. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I want someone to give me verse 12 to 14. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. Yes, anyone who is ready? Romans chapter 8. Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. Please follow in your Bible.
And King JV. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Amen. Amen. Okay, let's have another version. Romans 8, 12 to 14. Yes, Sister Amanda. Romans 8, verse 12 to 14. Please look at it in your Bible.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtor, not the flesh, to live according to the flesh.
Okay, that seems the same King James. I was looking for another version. Do you have one? Yes, you have one? Yeah. Yes, Romans 8, 12 to 14.
Therefore, dear brothers and sisters.
Dear brothers and sisters.
You have no obligation.
You don't have an obligation.
To do what your sinful nature urges you to do.
To do what your sinful nature urges you to do. You get ready. I just want to stop there. I want you to understand that there are some things that you are doing. Yeah, in the flesh. But you can stop doing them. And you will not die. Amen? You will not die. He said if your right hand causes you to sin, what do you do? Now, he's not telling you that you should remove your physical eye. Although, necessarily, if the choice between heaven and hell depended on removing your eye. I'm talking about a matter of life and death. Okay? This is non-trivial at all. Don't mess with your eye. Do you understand what I mean? Your eye is the light of the body. You need your eye. Amen? But the it's a figurative statement, even to that extreme. There are some things that you consider to be a normal part of a normal life. Hello? We cannot say, for example, I cannot tell you that, oh, watching movies is a sin. I can't say that. Amen? The whole concept behind watching movies is a good story. We always make a good movie. Hallelujah. By makeup, we want to listen to a good story or read a good story or watch a good story. Amen? There are some books that you are reading that you should not be reading. Amen? See, pornography is not only visual. It's also mental. Amen. You don't have to see a picture to do pornography. You can read it in a romantic novel. It's still pornography. Are you with me? You don't have to. You say, if I'm watching a movie and I find that 5% of the movie is immoral. But you know, the movie has a nice storyline. The problem is that 5%, my brain will remember it. Are you with me? It becomes a source of temptation to me later. So, I don't have an obligation to watch the movie at all. Though 95% of it is legitimate. But the 5% is doing me so much harm that I will be wise to cut it off. It doesn't take prayer and fasting. It just takes a decision. Are you with me? I don't have an obligation to live according to the dictates of my flesh. Hallelujah. If you are addicted to ice cream, don't put it in your freezer and say you bought it for your children. Does it make sense? You cut it off. Then you will not be tempted by ice cream at night. Praise the Lord. Can you see? You don't have the obligation. Don't think that you have to do something. You don't have to. Amen? You don't have to. You know what you know you don't have to? You will not die if you stop it. Hallelujah. You don't have the obligation to live according to this of the flesh. If it's causing you harm, cut it off. Hallelujah. That's it. You won't even need to pray to God to deliver you. And all that time you cut it off, don't just stay empty. You know the Bible talks about the unclean spirit, the demon. And when a demon is cast out, yeah, it goes around. You know, we're saying in the own fellowship, you can't kill a demon. Sorry. Tell if all that die, you're just deceiving yourself. A spirit cannot die. Even your spirit cannot die. It will only go to heaven or hell. And the ones in hell, they are there forever. They can't die. They are in hellfire, they are burning forever. Spirits do not die. The reason is this. Spirits, God is the father of spirits. Do you realize that? That we all as spirits came from God. Hallelujah. We all came from God. That's why you have to understand that it hurts God for anyone to go to hell. Because a spirit came from God. Are you with me? So spirits cannot die. So it's like when a demon leaves, yeah, it goes about through dry places or wilderness. Look, you know, and it does not find any rest. Then it comes back. And the first thing that goes to his mind is what? Where's my mind? Yeah. He said, let me go and check where I left. No, sit down. It's okay. Sit down. He said, let me check where I left, whether it is still empty. Yeah? Now, let me tell you something about that story that really amazes me. As me went back, yeah, and found it empty, but upside down, everything scattered. You know, even demons, they like a night and in a neat and clean place. Yeah? I'm telling you something. So, he left it upside down when he was leaving, remember? He goes back. If he found it upside down, it will go back in alone. Like, okay, I understand. But he went and everything was neat and tidy. He said, I can't go alone. This way is too nice. You now go and get seven others that are more wicked than himself. And I would say that the last state of that person is worse than the former. You know what it means? It means that it's not enough for me to cut off what it's causing me to sin. I need to feel it. Hallelujah. I need to feel it with the word. Hallelujah. And I tell you, filling your life with the word is not just about reading your Bible. It's a major part. Filling your life with the word includes being in fellowship. Amen. You will find that when you're in fellowship, you'll be less tempted to sin. Like if you're in regular fellowship, there are some things in your normal life that you will just find that you are not being tempted to do. Just because you are in fellowship. Filling up of, you know, feeding on the word includes, you don't just read the word of God, yeah? You respond to it by obeying. Part of the obedience to the word is serving God. Hallelujah. If you are idle, what did they say about the idle mind? And the worst thing about it is that, I want you to understand that,
the devil's workshop in today's day is the normal. Don't compare. Don't look around and say, oh, well, I'm not as bad as Brother T. I don't mean any T. Brother T. There are two Brother T's now. No. The normal, the new normal is the devil's workshop. You can't look around and say, everybody's doing this. You can't even look around and say, every Christian is doing this. The fact that every Christian is doing does not mean it agrees with the word. Times have changed and people have changed. Some things we are doing today, they didn't do it like that before. Do you realize that? Amen? Amen? Say, I have no obligation to live according to the dictates of the flesh. Please continue. Verse 13, Romans 8, 13.
Verse 13. For if you live by its dictate,
if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you know what that means?
You would
if
die.
I'm going to give in to everything my flesh wants to do, you are guaranteed spiritual death. Because the flesh is not born again. Huh? Even the flesh of the pastor is not what? It means anybody can be tempted. So you cannot say, I'm strong. No. But anyone that thinks he stand, what should he do? He should take heed. Someone says, take heed. Lest you fall. Overcoming in life requires wisdom. The Bible says that a wise man, he foresees the evil and he hides himself. But the foolish will just plunge in and say, everything will be okay. That's not faith. It's presumption. Amen. For you to have faith, it needs preparation. Romans 10:17 says what? So then, faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hallelujah. And hearing by what? The word. You can measure the faith you have by your feeding. The more you feed on the word and you open up your heart to it, the more your faith. The more you keep away from the word and get busy with the junk, the less your faith. Faith never static. Even today, if you have faith to remove mountains, it doesn't mean you always have faith to remove mountains. Amen? Faith, just like your car, needs to be maintained. Hallelujah? You maintain your faith level by feeding and acting on the word. Amen? The more you feed and act on the word, the more you will see results. Amen? Faith is not presumption. So I believe everything will be okay. Faith is not even positive thinking. Amen? You know, some preachers, they preach positive thinking. I'm not saying positive thinking is not nice, but it's not faith. Faith is based on the word. Faith comes by hearing the word. And faith works by acting on the word. Faith comes by hearing what? The word. And it works by what? Acting. It doesn't matter how much word I have. Until I act on it, I can see miracles. Hallelujah. Somebody said, they collected the medicine. But they said, I prefer not to take it. Amen? Now, we are not against medicine. Please understand that. Amen? God gave the knowledge. Imagine how many people have died without medicine. Amen? Yeah? I mean, like, imagine if a woman was pregnant, was in labor, and said, I don't want any doctor to touch me. I'm going to do it all alone. I will use my faith. At least you need somebody to at least carry the baby out. Hallelujah. But she got the medicine, but she said, you know what? I would actually prefer not to use this medicine. So what she's doing is she's trying to act. Amen? Act on your faith. You know what the Bible says? It said, to him that believes, all things are what? Possible. But the question is, do you believe? Now, believing is not presumption. It's I believe. You know why? Because if you truly believe something, it will be seen in your words and your actions. I can test your faith. Hallelujah. When you truly believe in something, you're going to stay there.
You're going to speak it. You're going to act on it. Hallelujah. And then you're going to persevere in it. And then you will see the result. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus, say, it's available to me. Please, please pray. Verse 14. Verse 13 again.
Yeah. For if you live by his dictates,
if you live by everything your flesh is telling you,
you will die.
You will die. You know what that die is? Spiritual death. But you don't understand the meaning of spiritual death. It's spiritual death. Death usually, in most cases, yeah, death never starts in one day. Huh? People are dying. Does not mean they are dead. Amen? Every time the life in you is reducing, what are you doing? It's dying. You will not die in Jesus' name. Amen. Whether physical or spiritual. You will live. Amen. And declare the good works of God. Amen. In the land of the living. Amen. So don't misunderstand that scripture. What he's saying is that, look, there is this life of God in you because you're a child of God. Yeah? Like our brother T read earlier, that life can either bubble up or it can go down. Amen? When that life is bubbling up, you are living. Hallelujah. And you'll be seeing supernatural results. You'll be bearing fruit of righteousness. But when that life is reducing, anytime life is reducing, it's called dying. You may even live all your life and never die spiritually, but you're dying. It means that darkness is entering. Are you with me? He said, we live according to the dictates. If I follow everything my mind and my brain is telling me and my body, it goes down. That life of God goes down. Amen? But if I follow what the Spirit is telling me, and I yield to the Spirit, and it's easier to yield to the Spirit when you feed on the Word, the life is bubbling up. Hallelujah. You start living in victory over sin, over sickness and disease, over oppression. There's too much darkness in this world. There's hatred, there's disharmony, there's confusion. Even in families, the serpent will rear his ugly head. Amen? And if you're not careful, what will happen? He will strike you. Amen? You see, we may be following entertainment in this world. Devil is not resting. Amen? And that's why we cannot afford to be, you know, like lukewarm. Because the adversary is not lukewarm. During the week, I was thinking of something. He said, God is not a respecter of person. But do you know that? Actually, the devil is also not a respecter of person. The only respecter of person is people. Amen? People are respecter of what? God is not, and the devil is not. He doesn't care. He said, I just said, I'm wearing a white shirt today. So, because I'm wearing white, the devil cannot touch me. He doesn't care. He said, I've suffered too much. So the devil cannot touch me again. Does he care that you have suffered too much? He doesn't care. He doesn't have mercy. He doesn't care. And that's why you cannot be lukewarm. Amen? Say, I don't have any obligation to live according to the desires of the flesh. I choose to feed on the word and drink of the Spirit. Amen. You have access. Amen. You have access. Please don't ever feel incapable and say, oh, this Christian life is too difficult. If your Christian life is difficult, there's only one reason. You're not feeding and you're not what? Drinking. Imagine the physical, you're not feeding and you're not drinking. Won't life be difficult? You don't even have the energy to carry your feet. Not talk of nailing hammering a nail to the wall. Amen? Well, if you eat good food, you go to visit Sister T.Y. and she gives you good food. And then you visit Brother Tim and he gives you a nice, high quality, non-alcoholic wine to top it off. Or the one I drank one non-alcoholic wine in Brother Gideon's house. He was not home. His wife gave me. I was like, oh, I don't need a drink. But when she brought it out, I said, ah, don't worry. I said, I'm not in a hurry now. Hallelujah. You'll be energized. Life will be interesting. Because you are fortified.
You have the energy. Whatever you're going to face now, you can face it. You have the energy. Amen? You have the energy. So, the only reason why you will struggle with your Christian life is that you lack energy. Then you are struggling. And the reason why you are lacking energy is that you are either not feeding on the right thing or you are feeding on the wrong thing. Amen? You know there's some food that they are called junk food. You know what they do? Junk food. They give you quick release energy that you use to cause trouble and commotion. Yeah? Then it's gone. Junk food. Or they give you layers of fat. Huh? Why should you pump yourself up with layers of fat to junk? You are still eating the junk food and you are doing liposuction. You understand? The solution is, if you don't want more layers, what do? Stop the junk food, at least. Does that make sense? I mean, you go to gym, you pump out how many calories. Then, you now say, I'm going to reward myself for my hard work. I'm not talking to anybody because it doesn't apply to anybody here. The people here, it's either they're not going to the gym, or they've gone to the gym and suffered too much, they will not do it. Amen. But I'm just saying, you pump it out and then you reward yourself. Are you going anywhere? No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Feed on the word. Drink of the spirit. You will be empowered to do the works of God, which includes living above sin. Amen. I was saying last week, I said, Your life mission is not just to run away from sin. If all your life you are still trying to run away from sin, you are still on the baby level. You are supposed to be committing righteousness. Amen. When you are busy committing righteousness, you will still be tempted, but it loses its appeal. There's some things that come to me and say, "Oh, if I do this thing," as a human being, I say, nobody cannot be tempted. Anybody that says they cannot be tempted. People may be tempted more or less, but there's nobody that says it. Because so long as this flesh is not born again. Are you with me? But if you are busy committing righteousness, what does that mean? I'm busy serving God or doing the will of God or releasing my talents to bless lives, doing what pleases God. And I say, it doesn't have to be in church. Somebody has to reach out to the drug addicts. Huh? No matter how good the sermon we preach in church, will he save any drug addict out there? Someone, one of us will go there and God will give them that passion. It's not everybody. Don't go and do it if you don't have the passion or the calling. Because when you have the calling, the anointing will come. But someone has to reach out to them. Are you with me? When they do that, they are committing righteousness. Amen? They are what? Committing righteousness. Your workplace. I can't go there. Imagine I just show up in your workplace and I want to start talking to your patients. And you are the one in charge that day. Will you find it funny? Even though I'm your pastor. But you can. Amen. You are there. Hallelujah. You are the one that will commit righteousness there. Amen. Hallelujah. My job is to fortify you. Anywhere you go, you commit righteousness. Now, when you are busy committing righteousness, when temptation shows up, it becomes a bigger problem. Because it's not just about, I don't want to sin against God. People are involved now. So if I do this, how will it affect other people? Can you see? Yeah? Other people that know you committing righteousness. Now you do that. What is the impact on them? So the stakes are higher. The stakes are what? Higher. Yeah. You see, if you are not standing for anything, you will fall for anything. Amen? If you take a position where you allow God to use you to mentor somebody else, it becomes more difficult, yeah, to settle for less. Because when you are mentoring somebody, you know that if something goes wrong, it also pulls them down. Amen? Everyone is called to be a leader. But we're not talking about leader in terms of just commanding.
We are talking about setting an example. Yeah? It could be one person in your life. You have to model for them. For me as a father, I think of my children. Everything I do, everything I say, I'm modeling something for them. And it doesn't matter what you tell them. What you've modeled is what they will follow. Praise the Lord. Let me just stay there a little bit. Think about it. If you have friends and they know you're a Christian, everything you do, you're modeling something for them. Amen. It's not just what you say. What you do is a model. Amen. It's like, you know, it's like if I come to church as a pastor and say, oh, I tell my children, giving is important, you have to give. Yeah? Then when they come to church, I give them brown coins. You know brown coins? Penny. That these children know that penny will not buy them ice cream. Are you with me? Can a penny buy ice cream? The last time you took them to the shop, they know how much you spent to buy them a toy or whatever. Or their football. Amen? No, if you give them that, you have just told them that your toys and your ice cream and your football is more important. Now what you give to God? What we model matters. Amen? Hallelujah. You are the only Christian in your family, in your extended family. Everything you do is a model. Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Why? They will see. They must see it. And when they see it, they will give glory to the Father. You know how they will give, you know what one of the ways they give glory to the Father? They will come near to Him. You see, when God is glorified in your life, you will draw men. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a mentor to somebody. There's always somebody in your life that your behavior is modeling either a good fragrance or a bad fragrance. Hallelujah. Romans 8. Let's read verse 14. It says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Amen. Okay, now, to conclude this message, Fountain of Living Water, I want to, last week I talked about the living water in us, which is the Holy Spirit, and I talked about the need to drink. So today what I want to do is explain how do we drink. How do you drink so that you never go thirsty? You say, oh, I'm bored. You see, imagine you can be bored spiritually, you know that? Yeah, you've gone through the routine and you are just bored. It's not stimulating you anymore. The worship does not stimulate you. Coming to church does not stimulate you. Yeah? You would rather watch your football match at home or a movie, you know? That means you are spiritually dry. But how can you avoid dryness? How can you be ever stimulated? How can you be ever excited about loving and serving God? How can you be ever excited about doing the works of God? Yeah? How can you avoid dryness? Spiritual dryness. Okay? So let's look at that and we finish there. Okay? So go to John 7. John 7, then I'll ask you a question. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 37 to 39. Let's have someone else read. And then we ask a question and then we begin to pull it together. John 7, 37 to 39. Please read it. I would like that from two different versions. So after you, I'll take another version. John 7, 37 to 39.
On the last day, the climax of the festival, Jesus stood and shouted to the crowds, anyone who is thirsty may come to me.
Anyone who is thirsty may come to me. Okay? That's, in general, that's talking to the unbeliever. Okay? We are all thirsty before we came to Jesus. What mean of thirsty? That we were without water. Yeah? We were without living water. We were without eternal life. You say, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever, anyone, believes in him, should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So without Jesus, before we met Jesus, we were all perishing. Or we were all dying spiritually. We were dying but not dead physically. Yeah? We were perishing. But when we come, we receive living water. That was our first taste. The day you received Jesus and made him your Lord and your Savior was the first time you drank of what? Living water. Continue to read.
Anyone who believes in me.
Now, talking to the believer.
May come.
See, the first
drink.
Anyone is talking to the unbeliever. Anyone who is thirsty may come. Now, next one. Anyone who believes. Continue.
Anyone who believes in me may come and drink.
Okay, let me just stop there. For the unbeliever, what they need to do is to come to Jesus to receive salvation. Amen? But for the believer, you have already received. Say, I've already received. Salvation. Say, just say, the well of salvation is inside me. Believe me, if you don't believe that, you don't know who you are. The well of living water, when you took your first drink, the well came inside. That well is the Holy Spirit. It's inside. You have to be conscious of it. That's why it's wrong for you to be praying, Holy Spirit, come, come. He came. And he didn't go back. Hallelujah. Says, as I said, the well of living water is inside me now. Because I'm born again. That's why it's there. The job of the unbeliever is to come to Jesus. And when they come, they drink. But job of the believer, let's read it, is the job of the believer now is to drink. You know why? We've come already. We came to Jesus. Hallelujah. Are you still coming to Jesus? You already came to Jesus. Where are you now? Spiritually. In Christ. Amen? Say, just say, I'm in Christ. And Christ is in me. I'm not coming to Jesus anymore. I'm in him. Amen? I'm in him. The only time I need to come to Jesus is if I left him. Did you leave him? Agnes, have you left him? So I'm in him. Hallelujah. So, because I'm in him now, my next job is to do what? To drink. Hallelujah. What's my job? To drink. Have you noticed? God will not drink for you. When you were a spiritual baby, you were being spoon-fed. But now, God expects you to feed by yourself. It is abnormal for a big grown-up person, yeah, like my sister here, to be spoon-fed. It's abnormal. Amen? Something is wrong somewhere. It is abnormal for a frugal person. There is a cup of drink before you now, yeah? But somebody has to force it through your throat. It's abnormal. And God does not force anybody. If you are waiting for God to force you, you will wait until you are 99 years old. He doesn't force. He will preach to you. He will send somebody to give you instruction or warning or correction. He will not force you. 10 years will go by. You are still there doing what he has told you not to do. He won't force you. He only keeps sending people to you. We know who forces. It's the devil. God does not force. He's a God of love. Hallelujah. Our job is to respond. Love demands response. Please continue.
Anyone who believes in me may come and drink, for the scriptures declare rivers of living water will flow from his heart.
Okay. So this is a picture, and I'm going to ask two questions. So now, the well of water, if you've drank before, which means if you are born again, the well of living water or the spring of living water is in your spirit, your innermost being. And that well is actually the Holy Spirit. It lives inside you. In fact, John 4 says, he will never leave you. The Holy Spirit does not leave you because you sinned. There's only one sin that can make the Holy Spirit leave a believer. What is the sin? Do you know? Do you have an idea? Can I first go? What is the sin? There's only one sin that can make the Holy Spirit leave a born-again person. What is the sin? Youths. Yeah? What sin? No other sin can make the Holy Spirit leave you. Only one.
Blasphemy.
Blasphemy, yes. But that's not the perfect answer. It's within his own, but that's not the perfect answer. What is blasphemy? Can somebody define blasphemy for me? Because if we understand blasphemy, we understand the answer. Yes?
Any sin. A sin is a sin. So.
Any sin is a sin. Okay, so any sin is a sin. So like, for example, I mistakenly step on your foot, is it the same sin like if I siphoned £2,000 from your account? Are they equal?
I apologize if I don't apologize.
Yeah, but are they the same level? Which one will be easier to forgive? £2,000 from your account or just stepping on your foot?
Of course, the
foot. Some people get more angry at stepping on their foot than £2,000. Yes? What sin? I said there's only one sin that can make the Holy Spirit leave you. Because the Bible says in John 14 that he will abide with you forever. Have you read it? Open to John 14. If you read it from John 14, let me show you. Because I need to show you so you don't feel I'm telling you rubbish. John 14. Please, Brother Gideon, John 14, 16. I wanted you to read that. John 14, 16. Please look at it. That's why I'm always emphasizing that we have to engage with the Bible. Somebody cannot just teach you anything. They will have to show you in the Bible. John 14, 16. Read it.
John 14, 16. And I will pray the Father.
I'll pray the Father.
And he shall give you another comforter.
He will give you another comforter.
That he may abide with you forever.
That what?
That he may abide with you forever.
Well, how? Forever. Amen? You see, did you see that? But there is a sin that can make the Holy Spirit leave you. And apparently it's not just any other sin. What is this? That's the answer is correct. I just need to define it. You said blasphemy. What is blasphemy? Yeah, you had another answer. Because it's the same answer. You just need to define it. What's your answer?
Well, I think if you deny the works of Christ, what Jesus Christ did.
There is a sin unto death. You are reading in 1 John. You can read it in 1 John. If the Bible says that sin, he said, if somebody commits it, he said, I do not tell you to pray for them. The Holy Spirit came to live inside you because you accepted Christ, isn't it? Huh? The Holy Spirit did not come to live inside you because you are handsome or you are beautiful. The Holy Spirit did not come to live inside you because you kept 9 of the 10 commandments. Huh? The Holy Spirit did not come to live inside you because you've never sinned in your life. And he did not come to live inside you because you will never sin again in your life. Huh? He came to live inside you because you accepted Jesus Christ. And made him your Lord and your Savior. That was the condition. It is the same condition for which he will continue to live inside you. Now, when a man, and that is absolutely possible, that a man will reject Christ. Someone who believes in Christ can reject Christ. You know why it's possible? Because you have free will and God will never force you to do anything in your life. He will help you, he won't force you. So you have the free will, you accepted Christ. So long you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit is where? Inside. Amen? It's not about you. It's about Jesus. Because actually, it's not in you for your sake. It's in you to represent Jesus. He said, I will send you another comforter. Who is the first comforter? Jesus. Are you with me? If I'm in Christ, the Holy Spirit is in me. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So how can I know that I've not committed the unpardonable sin? Yeah? Let me tell you how. Because I still accept Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. Now, I'm not telling you to sin. I'm just making you understand that the basis for the Holy Spirit to live inside you is way, way beyond you. It's because of Jesus. Now, the person who has left Christ and has turned his back on Christ, the Holy Spirit will leave them. Are you with me? Yeah? Jesus says there's no sin that is unpardonable except to deny Christ. And that's what the Pharisees did. They denied Christ. They saw the works. If it was the miracle they needed, Jesus opened the eyes of someone born blind. It has never been done. That's what he said in the Bible. You know, there were some miracles done by Moses and Co., but this one has never been done. So if there was any other proof for them to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, it was this. Then they now said, no. He cast out devil by the prince of devils. That's what he told them. Now we know we forgive him. They are denied him. He has hit them. They were under conviction that this is the Messiah. But they refused him. And he says, unless you repent, you will die in your sin. No, that's not what he said. He said, unless you believe that I am the Messiah, you will die in your sin. Are you with me? So that's reassuring to know that the Holy Spirit will never leave me. Amen? If I remain in Christ. Why I say that, you meet yourself, you still have access. Say, I still have access. No matter what has happened in the past. And I'm not trying to make you feel good. I just told you the whole truth of the word. So that's one question, then we round up on that is, two questions. How can you get water from a well? Now, I hope we all know what a well is. Do you know what a well is? Don't mess about. A well. Yeah? Agnes, do you know what a well is? Because like in these days when everything comes from the tap. You know, boy, you never had to fetch water from a well in your life. I have. You know, the woman was fetching water from Jacob's well. Why couldn't Jesus, I'm going to ask Sean now, or Agnes. Why couldn't Jesus drink the water from the well? Why did he need to ask the woman to give him water? This is the same answer, yeah? So Jesus was at this well. He was there long before the woman came, yeah? But he could not drink the water. Why? Why did he need the help of the woman?
He couldn't get the water.
What?
He couldn't get the water.
Yeah, we know. But why?
Because he didn't have a bucket.
He didn't have a bucket. Yes, I like that. Yes. Do you want to try to improve on him? Sir, come on, do better. Come on, you can do something better. What is it about a well that you can't just get the water from the top?
It's, you have to dig deeper.
It's deep! So, but what do you expect between a mother? Okay, it's not the mother. It's the auntie. Amen. This is the revelation you need to get from this. The well is deep. That's the revelation. Say the well is deep. So many times you've been trying to drink from the surface. That's why you're going thirsty. The well is what? It's deep. The well of the, where does the Holy Spirit live? In your innermost being. Deep. Yeah? Not in your brain. Say the Holy Spirit does not live in my brain. Really? Where does he live? In my innermost being. The well is deep. So how can you get water from a well? You need to draw deep down inside. It makes sense. You know what? To draw deep down inside. Physical. Oh, that's the physical one. Now, spiritually, how can you draw deep down inside of the well of living water which is in you? So that every day you can just have a drink at will. How do you draw deep down? Yes? We said it many times. We say it every service. To draw deep down inside of this well that you carry about. And it has living water. You know what living water is? Anything pertaining to life and godliness. Anything. Any problem, anything, any challenge, the living water has a solution. And I'm carrying it every day. So why am I going thirsty? Yeah? Why am I going, you know, in despair? Why is my life tumbling over when I have living water in me? Does that make sense? Jesus said that they will not thirst. He said if whoever drinks will never be thirsty again. Was he lying? So if he wasn't lying, the living water is in me. The reason why you'll not be tested again is that it's in you. But the problem is I need to know how to drink. But I could never drink without drawing down deep inside. How can I draw down deep inside spiritually?
By meditating on the word of God.
Yes, by meditating on the word, yes. Not the perfect answer, but it's a good one. Yes. Who can hit it well? How do you draw deep down inside the well of the Holy Spirit? And so that you can drink. What do you need to do? We say it is in the Bible.
By accepting Jesus Christ as a personal.
But you did that already. Okay. We did that already. Otherwise, you can never have the well. Now you have this well. The problem is not getting the well. To get the well, you need to accept Jesus. But now you have accepted Jesus, you have the well. But how do you, are you able to draw deep so that you can drink every day?
By walking according to the words that he wants.
By walking according to the words.
By walking according to the words of God.
To the words of God, yes. That agrees with maintaining the word. That's in the same direction. I'm looking for a different one, a different direction. Let me take one, then we open the Bible. I'm rounding up.
Speaking in tongues.
I'm speaking in tongues. Okay, that's not it. that's not it. Yeah. Remember, I'm not talking about drinking. Now, I'm talking about drawing deep down inside. How do you draw deep down inside? Sorry.
There has to be a framework or manual.
A manual, how to do it. I agree. Let me show you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, the last chapter of the last letter of Paul to the Corinthians. And the last verse in them. So the very last thing that Paul said, or Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. We say it every Sunday. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 13. Verse 14. We say it every Sunday. Yes, let's have it. Anyone wants to read it? 2 Corinthians 13:14.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
The love of God.
The love of God.
And the fellowship of the Holy
and the
Spirit.
And the fellowship of the Holy Spirit.
Be with you all.
Be with you all. Some other people call that fellowship communion. Huh? If you look at fellowship means sharing together. Amen? Do you know how you drop Jesus in the Holy Spirit? You fellowship. Yeah? How can you fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I'll quickly say it. Think about it. You have a guest in your house. You don't talk to them. No good morning, no good night. You don't have any conversation. Yeah? Even if you had the greatest power in the world, can you enjoy that power? No, you are not having any interaction with them. I know they are in your house, but you are not interacting. Yeah? You ignore them as though they were not there. Every time you want to make a decision, you just depend on your brain, your computer. You know the brain is a computer. Amen? I always say that your brain should not be leading your life. The spirit should lead your life. Your brain should be helping to implement the instructions of the spirit. Because the brain is a computer. Are you with me? The brain is a computer. It's a tool. When your brain starts leading your life, you will be walking according to the flesh. Your brain was not made to lead your life. It was made to help to implement the instructions of the spirit. Amen? That's the difference between wisdom and smartness. That's the difference between what? Wisdom and what? Smartness. When Adam and Eve were made, God, it was wisdom. God gave them instruction. The devil showed them smartness. Until today, we're still trying to solve the problem of smartness. As we solve problems, new ones develop. Amen? But the Garden of Eden that we all desire, God gave them to them in the beginning. Without any effort. Amen? Say, I will get there. The Garden of Eden. I will get what? There. But you can't get into the Garden of Eden without God. I'm talking about paradise. Yeah? Where everything is the way it should be. You need God to get that. Amen? Smartness cannot deliver paradise. Amen? It can deliver something near it, but with its own troubles. Amen? We're finishing. He said the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just explain that so that when we say that next time, we know the meaning. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. What is communion? To have communion, you need to have conversation. Hello? Do you know actually, I'm saying this, you are not supposed, the God we serve is three in one. We have God the Father, and we have God the Son, which is Jesus Christ, and we have God the Holy Spirit. They are all equally God. It's one God in three persons. Yeah? And the reason why it's in three persons is that those persons function to specific needs. Okay? Do you know that when you need direction, you're not supposed to be asking, praying to the Father for direction. You can. If in the Old Testament, of course, you will do that. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them. When you need direction, who should you seek for direction? He said he will lead you into all truth. And that's why God knows you will need direction in your life. That's why he puts you the Holy Spirit inside. This is what you're carrying about. You should not say that I lack direction. Have a conversation. And now you did. You have to first of all admit that the Holy Spirit is in you. Believe it. Then start talking. Imagine just like I'm asking my sister, oh, what do you think? Ask the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, about this, what do you think? You do it by faith. The more you do it, the more you will, the inner voice will be coming. But if you don't do it at all, you will not experience it. Are you with me? You don't pray to the Father for direction. That's Old Testament. You have a conversation. And you know, I didn't say you pray. Amen? Because prayer looks like something that is being sent to a distant place. You have a conversation with the Holy Spirit. Amen? We pray to the Father. You don't pray to Jesus. Amen? You don't pray to Jesus. Jesus is not the Father. Amen? You pray to the Father in the name. You see, the role of Jesus is he is the one that brings authority to whatever you're doing because he paid the price. Amen? Now, if you want to command the devil, you don't pray to the Father to say the Father should command the devil. Because Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain, he said, I give you authority. Say, I have authority. So actually, God does not expect you to be praying to him to deliver you from the devil. Because he said, resist the devil. Ow! Use the name. Amen? You can never match the devil in your power. You know that? So don't try. In your physical power, the devil is more powerful than you. Yeah? Because he's a spirit being. Do you understand? So you can't match him in your power. There's no point trying to box the devil. You can't box the devil. But you have authority in the name. That's what we call the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the authority and the righteousness he has given you to operate. Hallelujah. The love of God is the fact that you can ask the pray to the Father and he will give you good things. Because every good and perfect gift comes from where? From above. Amen? If I need a good thing, I pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. If I need to resist a bad circumstance in my life, I command and I believe that it is done. He said, if you believe and does not doubt, he shall have what he says. You understand? So the way someone taught, he said, like, you command or you resist bad things. You don't pray, you command them. But you ask the Father for good things. You know, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father. So when you need a good and perfect gift, ask. And when you ask, believe that you have received. But if you find a bad thing in your life or in your situation, command it out. That's what Jesus does. Now, if you say it, I say, Jesus, I myself will do it. Then, when you need direction, when you need comfort, when you need guidance, when you need encouragement, commune with the Spirit. Ask questions. Express your feelings, just like you would do it to any other friend that is near you. Hallelujah. The more you commune with the Spirit, the more you'll be able to drink of the Spirit. Let's rise up.